मोकम करोति वाचालं पंगुम लंघयते गिरी यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्री गुरुदीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्य ईश्वरं. इट्स बाय द मर्सी ऑफ श्री गुरु दैट इवन अ डम कैन स्पीक एंड अ लेम पर्सन कैन क्रॉस द माउंटेन. सो वी बिगिन प्रे फॉर द मर्सी ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद एंड द गुरु परंपरा सो दैट दे शावर देयर मर्सी ऑन टू ऑल ऑफ अस सो दैट वी कैन अंडरस्टैंड द इंट्रिकेट डिटेल्स ऑफ भगवद गीता. And we are empowered to apply in our life and spread it around to people who are suffering in this world. So with this prayer, let's start with today's session. We are discussing this amazing book, The Life Manual, Bhagavad Gita. And we dedicate this presentation to Srila Prabhupada. Yadi Prabhupada na hoy to, tabe ki hoy to, jivana bhai ta kiche. If Prabhupada wouldn't have been there, what would have happened to all of us? How we would have understood complete Sanskrit literature called Bhagavad Gita? It would have been very difficult for all of us to understand that what is this life manual talking about. It's only because of this personality who sailed across the ocean at the age of 70 with two heart attacks. Because of him, today all over the world, people are reading Bhagavad Gita, understanding the same, applying in life and preaching about it all around. So we pay repeated obeisance to Prabhupada, and this is what we're discussing, who is pulling my string. Today's session is one of the most important session. Today you will see how practical Bhagavad Gita is. Till now, when it comes to practical aspects of Bhagavad Gita, we have seen. But in today's session, you'll be able to connect each and everything. There'll not be even one slide which you cannot connect to. Because we're going to discuss about how to deal with people, how to understand people's behavior, which changes drastically every now and then. The ones who are going to miss today's session, they're going to miss something very, very great. I'm sure about it. And this is one of my favorite sessions. And you'll see that how the verses of Bhagavad Gita, when understood in the right perspective, it can be applied in life easily without any endeavor, without much endeavor. So before we go ahead, I want to hear from all of you all, or and I want to see all the comments. What did we see in the last session? How did we start the last session? Yes, please go ahead and start posting. What did we see in the last session? Okay. So we wanted to talk about the three modes of material nature, and we saw that how we have this body, which is gross. The next level is the mind, manaha, which is subtle. And we learned about that in the sixth session. Then comes intelligence and then false ego. And then above that, which is very, very subtle, that is three modes of material nature. And yes, now we have three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. And who is the doer? Let me ask questions, maybe you all can post. Who is the doer? Prakriti is the doer. Agree. Prakriti is the doer. Now we understood that there are five factors. In every work, five factors are involved. Which are the five factors? Can someone name? Prakriti is one of them. What are the five factors? Okay, body, the place of action. Super soul, agree. Senses, agree. Soul, we are karta, and one more. Endeavor, absolutely correct. Five of them. Now we discussed about, last time we discussed a very, very important concept. Atma, Paramatma, Paramatma and Prakriti. Atma, Paramatma and Prakriti. So what is the role of a jiva? Please tell me, what is the role of jiva? What can the jiva do, max to max? Desire, absolutely correct. Jiva will desire. And what will Paramatma do? Paramatma sanctions. Absolutely correct. But Paramatma sanctions on basis of what? Okay. On the basis of what? Karma. Absolutely correct. So one word answer and the answers are correct. Karma. What does Prakriti do? What does Prakriti do? Prakriti manifests. Prakriti manifests the desire which is sanctioned by Paramatma. Now, which are the three modes of material nature that we did? We understood three modes of material nature. Goodness. Yes. Goodness, sattva guna. Passion, rajoguna. Ignorance, tamaguna. So yes, these are the three things that we saw. So when it comes to goodness, at start, it is like goodness at start is like poison. And towards the end, we understand it is nectar. What about passion? At start, it looks like nectar. And at the end, it becomes poison. Okay. Now tell me about ignorance. Start and end. Poison. Yes. Start is also like poison. End is also like poison. So in this way, we see that people in the mode of goodness, they always think about the future and they plan. People in the mode of passion, they enjoy first and think later. And people in ignorance, they're busy sleeping. They're busy doing their own lazy stuff. Now today, in today's session, okay, thank you very much for all your inputs. In today's session, we will see how to understand people's behavior based on three modes of material nature. Now, I'm sure all of you have understood, or at least theoretically got some knowledge about goodness, passion, and ignorance. I repeat again, so that it will be easy for you all to understand the future slides. Goodness, a person in goodness, he works because he feels it's duty. He's not attached to the results. Okay. And he's more of a person who wants to help others, having a good lifestyle, getting up early in the morning, whatever, helping others, charity and this and that. That is goodness. Passion. A person in passion, he works to get something. Before working, he'll ask, what is in it for me? What will I get by doing this? This is the question that he'll ask. And a person in mode of passion is too much addicted to sex life. He's driven by sex. He's very much interested, associate with opposite gender to enjoy as much as possible. A person in passion, all the time he swings from one end to another. When something good happens, he's extremely happy. When something bad happens, he gets into very, very low depression state. So this is what is the thing. This is the swinging mode. Now, the next thing after this is about ignorance. By the way, person in passion is always attached to the results of the work. And when it comes to ignorance, when it comes to mode of ignorance, person is least bothered about anything. He just wants to sleep. He just wants to procrastinate all the work that is assigned to him. And he will do things which are against Shastra, against scriptures. And food that we eat, that is also categorized in these three. Goodness is like wholesome food, fruits and sweets and basically good healthy food. Passionate food is very hot and spicy and pungent and bitter and all that. And when it comes to the food in the mode of ignorance, it's mostly like something dead, something decayed, something kept for a very, very long time, stale. Stale. And one of the examples is alcohol. decomposed material is what is alcohol. So that is an ignorance. And when it comes to charity is also categorized, austerities, penances, knowledge, all these things are categorized in three modes. Now, having this prerequisite, now let's enter today's topic. Oh, by the way, I'm seeing that the attendance is going down. Now I see there are 306 and maybe by 6:30, 6:45 people are there. They'll be around 400 or something. 350. That's what max I'm seeing nowadays. See, it doesn't matter you're on vacation or where you are. It's an online class. You have to just plug in, push your ear cords in your ears and just log in. That's it, what we have to do. Now, but the mind will say, no, you're on vacation. Enjoy, Madi. Enjoy. Now, don't do, why hearing Bhagavad Gita and all, you're on vacation? Come on. So please don't fall. Don't become the victim of mind. If you miss these sessions, because see, all of you are just starting your spiritual life. If you miss these sessions, what will happen is with time you will see one session you miss, mind will trick you to miss the next session and the next and the next, and then you're out of bhakti. Then forget about Bhagavad Gita. And then the mind will say, "Are you know entire Bhagavad Gita? You attended 3 sessions of Gita course. 3. 1 hour, 3 hours you attended. 3 hours of precious, precious 3 hours of your life. You know entire Bhagavad Gita." This is what the mind will say. But when we start reading Bhagavad Gita, when we, you know, attend more sessions, you'll understand so much is there. So much is there. Even now, every day when I read Bhagavad Gita, every day I learn something new. Every day. Those shloka day videos which I'm recording, every time when I'm reading, those verses I've read before also. It's not first time. I've done a course on that entire book called Bhagavad Gita. There's a course called Bhakti Shastri course. I've done that. But even now when I open the book and go through, you know, each and every shloka, there's so much to learn. Every time I read a shloka, every time something new to learn. So never ever we should think we have learned, and never ever fall victim or become victim to your mind. And this is what is my humble request. Don't miss any session. If at all you have to miss, the reason will be that you are bedridden and you're not able to open your eyes. All your senses are blocked. That should be the reason. Apart from this, I don't think there should be any reason for missing the class. Okay. So with this, okay. So when mind tricks us like that, it means we are in mode of ignorance. We are in mode of ignorance. We are driven by the mind in mode of ignorance. And in mode of ignorance, a person will not be interested to attend and understand, you know, discourses on Gita. So please understand, this is a very, very important factor. So with this, this is what we discussed till now. Now, let's get into a very important topic. And this is what is the concept I missed to, you know, do a recap. So which mode you are in? We are not in one mode. There is nothing called as pure goodness. Pure goodness exists. But then in this material world, you know, we cannot say that this person is in pure goodness, pure passion, or pure in ignorance. It's all about mixture. It's like RGB, red, green, and blue when you mix. So depending on the quantity of each color, you know, there will be varied set of colors that we will get in different range. Okay. So this is what we have to remember. And how many such colors will be there? Infinite colors. Infinite. So how many such combinations of goodness, passion, ignorance will be there? Infinite combinations. So how many such people are there around us? Infinite people with infinite combinations of 3 modes of material nature. With this, now the next shloka will become very, very significant. Please chant after me. Rajas tamascha bibhuya. Satvam bhavati bharata. Raja satvam tamaschaiva. Tamas satvam rajastatha. So this particular shloka, it says that sometimes the mode of goodness will take prominence over ignorance and passion. Sometimes the mode of passion will take prominence over ignorance and goodness. Sometimes ignorance will become prominent than passion and goodness. Now you will see people around. Sometimes when the goodness leads, they will behave very, very nicely. They're amazing people, amazing. So this statement that first impression is the last impression is not correct when you understand Bhagavad Gita. Because when you're getting the first impression, maybe the person is in mode of goodness and you feel, oh, that's amazing. This person is the best, very, very good person. He can be my best friend. You know, he is someone who can understand me. These statements are valid only when that person, only when mode of goodness is leading in that person's life. Now, it might happen that the person will shift to mode of passion, mode of ignorance very soon. We will never know. And suddenly when the person shifts, at that time we are like, oh, why? What happened to him? Suddenly, you know, he's changed, completely changed. So here, I have a question to all of you all. That how many of us hear this always? Or you have spoken this to others? That you have changed a lot. I'm launching a poll here. Please go ahead and answer. How many of you have heard this And how many of you have spoken this? You have changed a lot. Yes, please go ahead. All the 315 participants, please go ahead and answer this question. You have changed a lot. Man, you are not like this, especially when it comes to married couple. No, the spouse might tell that before marriage, you were not like this. Now you have changed a lot. Okay, thank you. I end the poll here. Okay, I keep hearing this all the time. Many, many people are saying that I keep hearing all the time, and I have spoken this many times. This is what is the fact. This is what is the fact. Now, let's understand a very, very important thing. This is what is called as maturity, what I'm going to speak now. Maturity is to understand that you cannot label a person as good, you cannot label a person bad. When the person is in mode of goodness, he will act good. No doubt he will act good. But when the person is in mode of ignorance, you will see that that person is behaving weirdly, and people start tagging him, he's bad. So my question to all of you is, I'm not launching any poll or opening chat box. You can answer yourself. Can we permanently give a tag to a person that you are a good person? Or can we permanently give a tag to a person that you are a bad person? Answer is no. We can never ever give such a tag, a permanent tag. When we give that permanent tag to anyone, it means we are not mature enough. Maturity means to understand that three modes of material nature are acting. Why should I give any tag to anyone? When I see the person in the mirror, so even the person in the mirror, I cannot give a permanent tag that you're good or bad. Yes. So this is what is the point that we have to understand. And this is called as maturity. As soon as we see a person and judge a person, that is called as utter immaturity, utter immaturity. So never ever, you know, we have to think that this person is absolutely like this and will remain like this, right? So first impression is last impression. Now you have to think again. If you have got any impression about anyone in this world and you have decided that this person is like this, now you have to rethink after hearing this. Because sometimes mode of goodness will act. And I'm directly speaking from the shloka now. The mode of goodness will take prominence. Sometimes mode of ignorance will take prominence. Sometimes mode of passion will take prominence. And depending on that, people will behave differently. So we can never give a permanent tag, first. Second, we can never judge a person immediately. In fact, we can never judge a person. Never, ever in life, you know, we can think that, no, I can judge the person now. No, we can never judge a person. Hope these two points are very clear. Very, very important point. If you're making notes, please, you know, make this note and revisit this after the class. Now, this question, which is the good mode to be in? Which is the mode which we should be in? Mode of goodness, mode of passion, or mode of ignorance? I'm launching a poll here. Please answer this question. Which is the mode which is good? Which is the mode which can be considered as good? Okay, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. These are the three options. Yes, please go ahead. Everyone can answer this. There are some people who want to give a hatke answer. Ekdam hatke. Yes. Okay, I stop the poll here. 30 seconds done. So, 212 people, majority of today's crowd is saying that mode of goodness. Now, let me give you an example and then again ask you this question. I'll again launch this poll. Okay. So, a king, minister, and soldier. So, they were going in an hunting expedition. They crossed the boundaries and they reached some other kingdom. And they were caught by the soldiers of other king. And they were put behind bars. Now the king, he's a king. So he was put in a cubicle or in a jail, which had golden bars, okay? And he was shackled with golden chains. Second, when it comes to the minister, he was put in a cage-like structure or a jail in which the bars were made up of silver. And the chains, the shackles which were there, those were made up of silver. The third jail, the soldier was put behind bars and those bars were made up of iron. And the shackles were made up of iron. Now tell me, which jail is good? The gold, the silver, or the iron? Which one is good? The mode of goodness is like the gold chain. The mode of passion is like the silver chain. And the mode of ignorance is like the iron chain. I launch the poll again. And now tell me, which chain is good? Which chain is good? And I don't know if I can launch the poll again. Okay, we have the option. Now tell me which mode is good. Mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. Which jail is good? The gold one, the silver one, or the iron one? If you don't want to answer, you need not answer. You can just be there. If you feel there is no option apart from this. Okay. I see there are many people who are not answering. I end the poll here. Now, still many people are saying that mode of goodness is good. Now my question to you is, that mode of goodness means what? Mode of ignorance means what? Mode of passion means what? Everyone is in the jail. So when the option is given that which QB or which jail you want to be in, gold, silver, iron, a person who is sane, a person who is intelligent would say, I want to get out of the jail. This is what is the answer that the person will give. I don't want to be in any of it. Now let's understand why the mode of goodness is like a jail. Till now many people might be feeling, many of you might be feeling, oh no, mode of goodness is good. I have to come to mode of goodness. But there's a problem in mode of goodness also. What is that? That's what is the discussion now. Very, very beautiful verse, which says, that tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukha sangena badnati jnana sangena chanaga. O chanaga, o anagha, o sinless one. Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Being pure than others is illuminating and it frees from one from all sinful reactions. Though situated in that mode, conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. Now what is the problem in mode of mode of goodness is this. In mode of goodness, the person is very happy. The person is very happy and he is like, I don't want to go out of this jail. Things are good. I'm giving charity. I'm having this. I'm doing these good activities. My health is good. Oh, this is good. That is good. Oh, my lifestyle is good. I'm happy here. What is the need of getting out of this jail? This jail is so nice. There is AC and there is washing machine and there is fridge. This jail is so nice with golden bars. So amazing. No, we are in jail. We cannot relax. We cannot relax. Yes. We cannot remain satisfied. This is very, very important. We cannot remain satisfied. Why we cannot remain satisfied? Because if we become satisfied in this world, it means we will get settled in this world completely. And when we settle in this world, we will not be interested to break the cycle of birth and death. So when the person is in mode of goodness, you know, in fact, I've met many people like that. They will be like, ah, theek hai, life is going good. Why should I do bhakti? So people feel bhakti is done for what? Bhakti is done for making life good, to stay, you know, have a nice, happy life. No, bhakti is not done for that. Bhakti, when we do bhakti, it has got a goal. That is breaking the cycle of birth and death. That is the goal. We cannot settle in this world saying, oh, this world is nice. People are nice in this world. And, you know, my lifestyle is good. I'm doing charity. I'm doing these good things. I'm good. I don't think I need Krishna. This is the category of mode of goodness people. They are happy and they have got, you know, some good knowledge and they feel they are good. I don't want anyone. This is a very, very, a very low level of thinking. Very low level of thinking. And you'll see many people are like that. Many, many people. When we go out, you know, to distribute books, especially in the temples, we find many people like this. They're pious. They're coming to temple. But then they are not very much interested to do spiritual practices. They don't have a higher goal. Their goal is, I am good. I want to be good with others. This is what is the mood. I am good. I want to be good with others. I'll not harm anyone. That's all okay. But now the question is, what are you doing to perfect your human form of life? That is what is the question. And many people fail. Many people fail, you know, to do this particular thing. So the important thing is that somehow or the other, let me display another shloka. Somehow or the other, we have to get out of this particular jail, any jail which we are in, goodness, passion or ignorance, we have to get out of it. Because none of the jail are good. It is binding. Anyways, it is binding us all the time. But as of now, we all are conditioned. This is what is the understanding that we need to have. This is what is the shloka also saying. We are there in different modes, all of us. Some mode is prominent in our life, most of the time. So mode of goodness, the person is conditioned to happiness. Sattvam sukhe sanjayati. So when a person is in mode of goodness, he's conditioned by happiness. He's conditioned. What do you mean by conditioned? I'm happy in this particular setup. Like for example, talk about conditioning. Now you've seen this COVID situation. Before, people were not coming out at all. They were like, no. How? It's very difficult. You know, it's contagious. Once I come out, it'll be a problem. And now, you know, people are out. Well, I see, you know, even all the roadside stalls, etc., are crowded nowadays. And what is happening now? People are wearing masks, they're having sanitizers, and they're good enough. Now they're conditioned to this situation. They're settled in that particular situation. And they're okay with it now. Many people are getting, they've tested positive, many people are getting recovered. No problem. Some people are dying also. If I have to also die, it's okay, no problem. How many days will I stay inside? And I was seeing, I had been to hospital, I had some throat infection. I had been to one clinic. So there I was sitting on the bench waiting for my number. And then I was seeing like everyone were with mask. I was seeing that. So I just turned and there was one person besides me. And that person had a designer mask, very beautiful design with a lot of holes here and there and very beautiful embroidery work was done on the mask. And I was thinking, this is what Bhagavad Gita says, conditioned, completely conditioned. Small kids have that Spider-Man and Batman masks. And the ladies have got nice, different masks with. Nowadays, there are jerry borders which are there, like on the sari, they have it on the mask also. And they were matching. This is called conditioning to the core. This is called as being conditioned, settled. You're settled there. And now you're not very much interested to come out of it. It's okay. Chal raha hai, chalte do, chalne do. That's what I'm saying. Condition, when mode of goodness is conditioned, when I say the person is settled, he's happy, he's settled, he does not want to change the situation. When it comes to mode of passion, the person is conditioned for the results. He always hankers for the results, And when it comes to the person in laziness, in ignorance, he's conditioned to be lazy, conditioned to be mad all the time. So in this way, we see that in these three categories of people, when mode of goodness is prominent, mode of passion is prominent, mode of ignorance is prominent, they're conditioned to different things. And it's very difficult to help them to come out of it. They are just happy. They're happy in their own world. And this is what we have to understand. We are conditioned and people around us are also conditioned. A mature person understands this very clearly. This is what is the message from Bhagavad Gita. That you are conditioned and people around you are conditioned. So be a bit mature when you're dealing with people around before judging anyone, before making any final decision and giving your judgment. Be mature enough because everyone is conditioned. And a very beautiful shloka is coming up, which will talk about how to deal with different personalities. And we are entering into a very, very important topic. I'm sure many of you will be benefited with this. So please pay attention. Be very, very attentive. And you will appreciate Bhagavad Gita like anything today. That how wonderful Bhagavad Gita book is. And also we'll discuss, there are some tips for managers from my side, from Bhagavad Gita. So you all can utilize the same while hiring people. So we are entering this. My question to all of y'all, I'm launching a poll now. So my question to all of y'all is managing people easy? Is managing people easy? This is what is the question. Please answer. Three options. Very difficult. I find it very difficult to manage people. Someone might say. Someone might say that somehow I'm managing. I'm trying to manage somehow. It's okay. And there are some people, you know, who are like pro in managing people, and you know, they feel they're confident that, no, it's okay. I can manage. Not a big problem. So let's see which category wins. 5 more seconds. Please answer, everyone. Okay. I end the poll here. 30 seconds done. And these are the results. Oh, majority of people are saying, you know, it's very, very difficult to manage people. and yes, this is what is the fact also. Managing people is not easy. Managing people is not easy. In fact, now to be very frank, people are happy. People are good at managing things. People are good at managing things. They are good at managing gadgets, and they're happy to stay with gadgets. That is the reason we see that on social media, we have thousands of friends. But when it comes to our day-to-day life, physically, we hardly have any. They are okay with, you know, people on the screen or no, in the gadget. They're okay with that. They're happy with the gadgets. Now, there are people so workaholic. They're all the time with the gadgets working. All the time. In fact, now, this is a couple of years back when I was at home. So, my brother was, I think he was there in bedroom and I was there in hall or something like that. And my mother told me that, you get your brother. I texted him on WhatsApp, come for dinner, it's getting late. And it is just, our house was not very big, small house only, but still, we were doing that. And nowadays we see, when we visit someone's, when we visit people's house, everyone is busy with their gadget. Husband is having one mobile, wife is having another, and the two kids are having two mobile phones. And they all are busy, in their own world. In this way, and our status, we say that, what is the status which people write? That message only, no calls. If you want to talk to me, message. I don't want to take any calls. I don't want to meet you and things like that. Why? Because managing people is very, very difficult. And a very beautiful statement, which is put here. That surely there'll be at least one person in all our lives who will test all our parameters to the core, to the extreme. Various parameters are there. They will do stress test, put us in a lot of stress and test our stress. Some people will do durability test for us. Durability test. They'll check how long this person can sustain. They'll do functionality test. They'll test us out which function you can do properly. And so many. I want to know from you all. I'm launching a poll. This is a nice humorous poll. How many of us have at least one such person in our life? And there are three options. I have many such people. Second, yes, I agree. I do have at least one. And third is not sure. I'm not sure if I have such people in my life. Yes, please go ahead and answer this question. Do you have at least one person like this who is testing you all the time to the core, to all the parameters? And I'm sure that one person you can find at home also. I stopped the poll here. Oh, no, the majority of people are agreeing with me, and they have at least one person now who is making their life miserable, testing them all the time. With this, now let's understand a very important aspect about different kinds of people we meet. Very, very nice topic. And I'm sure you'll be able to relate, to this particular topic. In fact, every topic that we're discussing today is very, very nice. And, it's very connecting. Now, the first one is different kinds of people. First category of people is we are very much comfortable with that category of people. We want to have close friendship with them. We share our heart. We are very comfortable. We want to stay close to them. This is the first category of people. Second category of people is manageable. I don't want that person to be very close, but somehow that person is close to me, so I can manage. Somehow I can manage that person. Now, the third category is keep safe distance category. We know that person wants to come close to us, but then we are not interested. We keep safe distance from that person. We cannot manage such person. And there are some categories, some category of people whom we don't want to see at all. They are the ruthless category. They are so crazy people that we don't want to associate with them at all. So these are the different categories of people. And you know, it becomes very difficult to get along, you know, with these categories of people.
Yes.
Simple example I'll give you. I'll just give you one example, and other examples you can, you know, find it for yourself and analyze. See, throughout these session, this particular session, now of all the future slides, please analyze for yourself. What sort of people are there around you? And are you able to manage those people? If not, find the answer in today's session. You will get it. Surely you'll get it. And if you don't, if you're not getting it, Thursday session anyways, I'll answer. Yes. So now when it comes to marriages, let me talk about marriage. Disclaimer. I am not an agent for fixing marriages, nor I'm an astrologer. Okay. So please don't send your kundli, your astrological chart after I speak a certain topic now. So this I have read, and this is very much relating to today's topic. So I'm speaking. So our Vedic culture is very, very amazing, very beautiful, and very logical, scientific. In fact, if anyone follows the Vedic culture as it is, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam as it is, that person can live a very happy life. Simple example, I'm putting it forward today. I'll try to discuss this in detail. We have time today. I'll try to discuss this in detail. So now when it comes to marriage, what does our Vedic culture say? Vedic culture say that the parents will choose the girl or boy, whatever. And obviously, the girl's parents are finding some boy. So they will find a boy and they'll talk with that girl, with the daughter. Are you okay with this boy? Hope you like him, etc. But no, she will not talk and go and try to understand that boy and things like that. And second thing that the parents will do is, even before telling the girl about the boy, they'll match the astrological chart. Nowadays, people feel, oh, this astrology and all the bogus, it doesn't work. Love at first sight. It is so nice. So nice. Love at first sight. I always say this. Love at first sight, divorce at first fight. This is what is the current status of this modern culture in this age of Kali. Yes. So love at first sight. This is what people like. Love at first sight. I want to spend some time with this person, understand the person very nicely. And when I understand this person very nicely, then I'll be able to resonate. Our bandwidth will match, our qualities will match. I'll know what he likes, what he dislikes. And then our life will be so nice, so wonderful. And this is what the media shows, isn't it? The movies. Happily married ever after. This is how the movies end. Arey Baba, story starts now. This all was prerequisite before. Now the story starts. Now the actual struggle will start. Now the adventurous journey starts, isn't it? So when it comes to Vedic culture, before itself, depending on the astrological chart, the nature of two personalities is matched. Is their nature matching or not? But nowadays people feel, no. We have to understand each other. Love marriage is very nice. And then when parents are orthodox, very strict, nowadays kids, they try to manipulate with the astrological chart and, they pass on and somehow get it matched and get married. But then we have to understand this very, very clearly. When it comes to marriage, matching of the astrological chart is very important. And today you'll understand why. Because it accounts for three modes of material nature. So there are three gana, that is calculated. Gana is basically nature. So we have got Deva Gana, then we have got Manushya Gana, and there's something called as Rakshasa Gana. So Deva Gana means a person who is having divine nature. Means which mode he is in? Mode of goodness. He's the prominent mode in his life is mode of goodness. Maybe depending on past karma or whatever, somehow his lifestyle is in mode of goodness. He's got divine qualities. He wants to help people. He wants to literally mingle with everyone. He wants to be sober, does not want to hurt anyone, and does not want to dominate on anyone. That is the category which we're talking about. That is Deva Gana. Rakshasa Gana people, they are in the mode of passion. And they are like, they want to dominate on each and every person. And, you know, they want to make sure that they lead the things, and they make the life of people miserable around. They burn the people around, you know, with their behavior. And Manushya Gana means people having some qualities of Deva Gana and some qualities of Rakshasa Gana. They are Manushya Gana category. So they are sometimes in goodness, sometimes in passion. You know, they keep switching, and ignorance also. You know, it's there. So now when the astrological chart is matched, I think there are 36 points or something, 33 or 36 points given, you know, for matching this one. So a good amount of points are given for this Gana. So when it comes to this, it is said that when Deva Gana person is getting married with Rakshasa Gana, the points that is given is zero. Why? Just imagine. Now, say husband is in the category of Deva Gana and wife is in the category of Rakshasa Gana. Now, husband is sober and wife is like dominating. I want to do this. I want to do that. Yes. Or let's talk in the mode of goodness terms. Suppose the husband is in mode of ignorance and the wife is in the mode of passion. And the wife is like, we have to do this. We have to do that. We have to buy that. We have to buy this. Oh, there's so many things to do, etc., etc., etc. And the husband is like, okay. We'll see later. Just imagine what struggle the husband and wife will have at home. So in this way, this Deva Gana, Manushya Gana, Bhuta Gana, you know, or Rakshasa Gana, it's very, very nicely categorized. It is said that they same nature people should marry. That is why these points are matched when it comes to astrology. So Deva Gana marries Deva Gana, their life will be good. Rakshasa Gana marries Rakshasa Gana, their life will be good. Manushya Gana marries Deva Gana or Rakshasa Gana, it's okay. But Deva Gana, Rakshasa Gana marrying together, that's horrible, horrible. And the product, that is their kids, will be extraordinarily horrible. So it is a great requirement. It's a great need that we understand the three modes of material nature properly, and we understand the importance of the Vedic culture. How the Vedic culture accounts for all the subtler aspects which we cannot see. Max to max, what can we see? We can see the beauty of the person. We can see the handsomeness of the person. We can see how he talks or she talks. But we cannot see how the three modes of material nature are acting in that person's life. This, our Vedic culture can see. And that's what Vedic culture establishes throughout. If we are really intelligent, we will follow Vedic culture as it is. And the essence of all Vedic culture is Bhagavad Gita. The teachings of Bhagavad Gita are gem. There's so much of treasure here, so much of treasure. Any person who is intelligent will explore it, apply it, and teach others. This is what is our mission. As the students of Gita, this is what is our mission. Apply the same in our life and spread it all around. Make it viral. Let people all around understand the glories of Vedic culture. Let people understand Vedic culture is not out of fashion. Vedic culture is in fashion and always be in fashion. So this is, you know, regarding marriages. And similar thing, you know, we can talk about various other things. But now see, when it comes to love marriage, when it comes to marriage, arranged marriage or whatever. So Kundli is matched. But now when you're in office, now suppose you are a team leader and you're choosing your team members, what will you tell them? Get your Kundalis first, then I'll take you in my team. This is what you'll tell them. Let me match Deva Gana, Bhuta Gana, no, Rakshasa Gana, Manushya Gana, and then I'll see. I belong to Deva Gana category. I want only Deva Gana people with me. This will not work. You know, randomly people are put together and we have to manage them in the office and, you know, various other places. Now the question is how to handle these category of people. If we follow Vedic culture, you know, our personal life will be taken care. But when it comes to professional life, you know, when it comes to other aspects of our life, when we're dealing with people around us, outside people, whom we cannot choose how to deal with them, this is what is the question. And now let's try to discuss that from Bhagavad Gita. Again, a very nice verse to understand. Very beautiful verse. Anyone who understands this verse will become very, very matured in life, very matured. Let's try to understand this verse now. Nahi kaschit chanam api jatu tishthatya karma krit karyate ya avashah karma sarvah prakriti jair gunai. This says that everyone is forced to act helplessly. according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. This is a very, very important point, you know, that we have to understand today. See, it's not that people are choosing the three modes of material nature. People are helplessly driven by the three modes of material nature. Helplessly. It's not that they want to get into mode of ignorance or passion. They're helplessly driven into that. Helplessly driven into that. Yes. So how should we deal, you know, with these people? Understanding that everyone is influenced helplessly, what we have to do is have three things with us. Upadeshamrit. There's a book called Upadeshamrit by a very great scholar. No, a Vaishnava scholar whose name is Rupa Goswami. He says, Utsaha Nishchayat Dhairyat. We need to have these three qualities when we're dealing with people. First, we should be enthusiastic when we're dealing with people. It doesn't matter how they are, because anyways, they're helplessly driven by three modes of material nature. What is the use of really, you know, pulling our enthusiasm down when someone speaks something or someone acts in a weird way? What is the use of doing that? So Rupa Goswami says, Utsahat, be enthusiastic. Utsahat, Nishchayat, be determined. Be determined in whatever work you're doing. Don't get swayed away by people around because they're helplessly driven. Dhairyat, have patience and tolerance. Because people now someone might be in mode of goodness or in ignorance. Just tolerate. Maybe that person after some time will come to goodness. Wait for some time. Have tolerance, have patience. So it is said, tolerate. Tolerate. That is the reason in Vedic culture, there's nothing called as divorce. Nothing called as divorce. Why? Because, you know, Vedic culture very beautifully implements this philosophy of three modes of material nature. Because when the husband and wife are together, sometime, you know, it will be very nice. Sometime it will be very critical. Sometime it will be really worse. Okay, no problem. You just be with that person and you will see a varied range of combination of three modes of material nature acting on that person. Varied range. Mode of goodness extremely high at some times and mode of ignorance extremely high at the other time. And in between, a varied combination. A mature person is the one who waits, who tolerates. And obviously, if the person is throughout in mode of ignorance throughout the life, we accept it as karma because that's what it is. That's what it is. Yes. Depending on our karma, yes, we have got some near and dear ones who are very close to us who are acting weirdly and making our life miserable. We accept that. So there's no question of separating in Vedic culture. Obviously, nowadays, you know, it's too much of ego clash and this and that and all nonsense is happening. Anyways, we'll not discuss about that. It's a huge topic in itself. So we'll talk about this now. So three things, as I said, three things are very, very important. What are those three things? Utsahan, be enthusiastic. Second, dhairyat, utsahan, nishchayat, be determined in whatever endeavor you're putting. And third is utsahan, nishchayat, dhairyat, be patient and tolerant. Things will change. They have to. Nothing in this world is permanent. No person can be permanently in a particular category, in particular mode. They have to change. They have to. And that is the reason we say that even worst of the worst person, will have some good qualities. And a mature person is the one who fishes the good qualities from the ocean of bad qualities, who finds the diamond in the garbage. He is a mature person. He is a person who is divine. And we devotees, we students of Gita, we have to become that personality, divine personality. If we can do that, no one in this world can shake us. No situation can pull us down in our enthusiasm. No one can stop us being stable and satisfied throughout our life. This is the verdict of Gita. This is what we can do. And obviously, there's a last slide which lists how to deal with people. So that is a practical tip of the day. That's an elaborate discussion. We'll be doing that in some time. So before that, now let me give some tips to all the managers, the hiring managers who are there in the session. So there are four categories of people. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. And you'll find this everywhere. Brahmanas are the intellectual class of people. Kshatriyas are, you know, they are the ones who are very enthusiastic and all the time in passion. Third, Vaishyas, they're money-minded people, business people. Shudras, they're the labor class. Okay. Nowadays, a lot of iterations are happening. Many people keep switching job and things like that. Mm-hmm. And when it is asked, now, why are you switching your job and things like that? So at that time, obviously, money is one of the reasons. Other thing is, you know, my manager, I'm not able to sync with my manager. So when a person is leading, understands these four categories and deals accordingly, he can hold people and he can hire according to the need. The first one, intellectual class, Brahmana class. So Brahmana class in the mode of goodness, Kshatriya class of people, they are in the mode of passion. Vaishyas are in the mode of passion and ignorance. Shudras are mostly in mode of ignorance. Now, if you want to hire a person who is intellectual, you want a person, you know, in your team who has to be intellectual, Brahmana category. So you have to give him the vision. That person will not budge for money. That person will not budge, you know, for lots and lots of work. That person will be interested in the vision of the company. Vision, what next? How? And he is very much interested to see how long, you know, the thing will work. So if you can give the vision to that person, he'll stay with you. Yes, this is Brahmana category, mode of goodness people. Second, Kshatriya category. If we want to retain people who are Kshatriya category, you know, passionate people and, you know, who are like, who likes challenges and things like that, we have to keep giving challenges every now and then. Mm-hmm. Mode of goodness person is not interested in challenge. Mode of passion person, he is interested in challenge. He likes challenges. No, big problem statements and this and that. He likes to do more, you know, more and more stuff. Now, workaholic people belong to this category. Passionate. They want to do something, you know, challenging. That is passionate category of people. Now, if you want to mint money, if you really want to make money, you want money-minded people, then you have to hire Vaishyas. Vaishyas are those who are money-minded, business class. And they are not interested in vision. They are not interested in challenge. They are people in passion and ignorance combination, and they are interested in money. If you just tell them how to make money and how your company will make money better and how that person can contribute, that person will be there throughout. And what about the Shudra class of people? They're ignorance people. Please don't feel offended, but this is what is the fact. Shudra class of people, they are the ones who need a person above all the time. And such people who belong to Shudra class, they need bonus. They need incentive in the form of money. They keep seeing for hike. How much money will I get? They're not interested in vision. They're not interested in challenge. They're not interested to contribute in the company so the company grows or whatever. They are the people who want bonus. They want hike in their salary. And to control the Shudra class of people, there is a, you know, person above, either a Kshatriya or a Brahmana. And nowadays in the corporate culture, this is what we are teaching, that we are cultivating more and more Shudra category of people. And what all things we have? We have punch time, punch in and punch out. We have time sheets. There is so much of control is there from the top. Why? They believe and they're confident that all of them are Shudras under me. So I have to control them very nicely. So these are the four categories of people. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. So now it's up to you whom you're managing. And if you belong to any of the category, and if you feel that you're not satisfied with your job, then you have to understand which category you belong to and choose your profession accordingly. This is what is the outcome of learning, you know, these three modes of material nature. Now let's get into a topic called how to get out of three modes of material nature. Enough. I don't want to be here in any of the jail, the gold, silver and iron. I don't want to be in any of it. This is what is the topic. But before that, and I would like to make a very important announcement and then we'll proceed. So now next week, 15th, Sunday is Deepavali. So I want to know how many of you will be available next week for the session. Mm-hmm. Next week, we are planning for a festival class and we are planning for a very, very wonderful festival. So depending on number, I'll announce the festival. So let me share the question, the poll, and please answer. There are two options, that you are available or you're not available. I want all the 336 people to answer this question. Please go ahead. Because there might be people who are traveling to their native place. There might be some people, you know, who are like, no, I am not going anywhere. I'm available. I'll be there for all the session. And there will be some people saying, wherever I'll go, I'll attend. So are you available? This is the first option. Second one is, I'm not available on next Sunday. So 250 have answered. Please go ahead. All the 337 people, I request, please answer this question. So are you available next weekend, Sunday, 15th? So if we have more than 200 people available, we will go ahead and have a festival. Majority is available, so we'll have a festival. And we'll celebrate Deepavali together. Obviously online, but it will be fun, you know, together. Okay, 300 people have answered. Please, around 300. Please go ahead. All the others, I hope you're not sleeping. Please answer. What happened? Stuck at 300. Yes, please go ahead. Everyone, please answer the poll. Last 10 seconds. Are you available next Sunday or not? Next Sunday is 15th November. 15th only, right? Yeah, 15th. Okay, I stopped the poll here. Oh, that's nice. Now we have 214 participants available. So I'm very happy that, you know, we can have a festival together. So let me tell you what festival we're going to celebrate. So next Sunday, we're going to have a festival class on Damodar Leela, how Mother Yashoda bound Krishna. Very, very sweet pastime. You know, we'll relish it like anything. At least I relish speaking it again and again. So this will be the class. And we are going to celebrate something called a Swad Utsav. Now, when physically we come together, so we set a target and, you know, we cook. So n number of items. So normally we target 108 items, different, unique items. And we offer it to Krishna and then everyone comes together. And then we have a fun time, you know, having all those 108 items. Obviously, not 108, some 20, 30 items are served in the plate and people relish. So now we cannot do that. But one thing we can do is the first aspect, that is offering to Krishna. So now all of you are divided into different groups. So this is to the volunteers as well. So all the mentors, please listen carefully. So now you have got different groups. Immediately after this session, choose which item you are making for Krishna. So what items we can make? Only one restriction. Don't put onion garlic in that. Onion garlic and mushrooms, not allowed. And no ready-to-eat food, no, from outside. You have to cook with your hands, sattvic food. You can choose any sweet or any kara item. It's up to you. You can choose. And before cooking, please make sure you chant at least one round of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then after cooking the food, put tulsi on that. You know, sprinkle some, you know, fresh water and put tulsi, one tulsi on that. And then, you know, we can offer it. So you can show it to the screen. And next week, this you know, all your offerings will be offered to our deities here in ISKCON Whitefield, to Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari Gaur Hari Nitai Gaur Sundar Lakshmi Narasimha Dev. They'll be accepting your offering. So you cook and then you keep it in front of the camera. And I'll take the role of a pujari and I'll offer all that, you know, to our lordships here. So now, items should be unique in that particular group. Now you can set a target. How many items you all want to make? And the mentors can decide. Mentors and, you know, all of you all can decide in your own groups. And the mentors have to do this. They have to make sure that the items are unique. So items shouldn't be repeated. If sweet rice is there, then no other person can take sweet rice. They have to choose something else. Okay. So like this, have unique items and let's see which group offers the maximum bhoga. And obviously, as we all know, when we are offering naivedya, we don't taste it before. So please, you know, offer these bhoga. Cook the bhoga very nicely. Cook the offering very nicely with love and devotion. Even if you're not a great cook, doesn't matter. If you are a bachelor, not having any cooking items, no problem. Offer fruits. Cut the fruits nicely. Put tulsi on it. Keep a glass of water. Offer. So the plate that you're using, make sure that it's a new plate or, you know, that's used only for puja purpose. Don't use your cooking, your eating plate, you know, for offering. So next week, 15th of November, is the great online Swad Utsav festival. And let's see if we can at least offer 300 items to Krishna. We are like 300 plus people. So let's see if we can do that. So what you can do is you can decorate your altar as well. You can have Krishna's photo decorated nicely with a lot of lamps, etc. That also you can display, you know, during the festival. So let's meet on next Sunday and have this festival. Okay. So this is the announcement. Now let's move on to the next topic. Now we're going to discuss how to get out of the three modes of material nature. Very, very important question. And now we're going to discuss all that. Very beautiful shloka. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sad asadyoni janmasu. Now it's only because of sangha, guna sangha, that a person gets into either of the mode. See, now the question is, how come mode of goodness is leading? How come the mode of passion is leading? How come the mode of ignorance is leading? The answer to this is, the mode which we associate with, we become like that. We get that mode, we imbibe that mode. Like for example, now suppose you all come to the temple here in ISKCON Whitefield and Sunday class is going on. Like live, you all are sitting in front of me, I am giving a class. Okay, you all are sitting, I am on the Vyasasana and you all are sitting on the mat. And you all are focused in hearing about three modes of material nature. And then I call the volunteers. I tell all of them, in the glass, nice transparent glass, get those brown shiny liquids. Get nice alcohol, very great brands. You know, get all of that and give it to the participants. Even if my student, if any of the student is a drunkard who likes to drink all the time, still that person will not be able to touch the glass. Why? Because mode of goodness is prominent in that particular setup. So automatically, without our notice, we are in mode of goodness. When you're hearing the class also now, you're automatically in mode of goodness. Automatically. Even without your notice. You start thinking. During the class, you start thinking, how can I help people? Oh, okay, I hurted this person. Oh, this is what Prabhuji is saying. No, I should go and tell sorry now. Oh, I didn't deal properly with that person. All these thoughts will come. These are thoughts of mode of goodness. Now, suppose you are in a pub. And disco music is there, nice dinchak music. And then you are in complete mode of passion and ignorance. And there I come with beads. And I give, Prabhuji, Mataji, chant Hare Krishna. And you are like, come on. It's like, how can I chant here in the pub? How is it possible? Why? That chanting, which is higher than all the three modes, that cannot be done, in passion or ignorance place. So Sangha decides in which mode we are in. We have to be very, very careful in what we are associating with, what activities we are associating with. That is the reason we keep stressing. Get up early in the morning. Because that time, early in the morning, is in the mode of goodness. The entire time, the entire day is also divided into three categories. Early morning, max I think till 7 o'clock, from morning 3:40, is in the mode of pure goodness and goodness. Then now after that, when people start running for their office, that is in mode of passion. And evening time, especially after 7 o'clock and things like that, is in mode of ignorance. And people who work late night and things like that, it's very difficult for them all the time. Mode of ignorance will keep prevailing, negative energies will keep prevailing. Yes. So in this way, we understand that what we associate with, that's how we'll acquire the modes. So this is my recommendation to all of you all. We have to come at least to the mode of goodness to practice bhakti nicely. So getting up early in the morning, chanting every day without fail, and then reading Bhagavad Gita, attending these sessions without fail. Yes. All this will pull us to mode of goodness, whichever other modes we are in. Still, we'll be pulled to mode of goodness even without our notice. And this is what we have to do. We have to train ourselves very nicely. And from so many lifetimes, what has happened is we have been in the clutches of mode of ignorance and passion most of the time. Only sometimes we come to goodness and again back to mode of passion and ignorance. Now we have to train ourselves. And that is the reason mind behaves weirdly. Mind is violent because most of the time we are in passion and ignorance. We go and do something which is abominable because most of the time we are in passion and ignorance. Why we are not peaceful? Why we are not satisfied? Because most of the time we are in passion and ignorance. Somehow we have to pull ourselves from that mode. It is like a button. Three buttons are there. Two buttons are on. Now you switch off those two buttons and switch on the third button. That's what is called a switching from one mode to another. And this will happen when we do all this. Attending the sessions regularly. That is satsang. Second is reading Bhagavad Gita. And the most important one is chanting Hare Krishna every single day. Without fail, 108 times minimum. Minimum, I'm saying. You can chant more than that. In fact, all the volunteers, we all chant every day, morning, 2 hours we chant. That is 16 rounds. It takes 2 hours. So that's how all the volunteers start their day. All the mentors start their day. So very, very important. And chanting, if possible, we should do it in the early morning. Yes, if our schedule is really very crazy, no problem, then do it anytime. But if you can do it early morning, then your mind will be in mode of goodness. You will be in mode of goodness. And then you will be able to focus and you will feel very nice, you know, when you chant in the morning. So in this way, we have to make sure we don't take random association. We have to choose people. Okay, sometimes you cannot choose people. That's okay. At that time, it's like a kabaddi game. You go and touch and come back. But when you have the option of choosing people, choose people very properly, which mode the person is in. Now, after this session, you'll have a broad perspective. Instead of seeing person's qualities, now you'll see the modes. Which mode is acting now? Which mode is acting now? Even when the fight happens between the spouses at home, husband and wife are fighting. So the one who has attended this session, they should understand, okay, now he's in mode of ignorance. He's getting angry. He's going crazy. Now let me be peaceful. If I also get into mode of ignorance, you know, it will go crazy and mode of ignorance will take over the entire house. Negativity will like hover in the entire house. Right? So this is called as applying Gita in day-to-day life. Isn't that amazing? This is how practical every aspect of Bhagavad Gita is. We can apply immediately in our day-to-day life. But now the question, you know, as I've been talking about, how to get out of the three modes. That is, very beautiful shloka. Praigunyo vishaya veda nistraigunyo bhavarjuna nirdvandvo nitya sattvasto niryoga kshema matmavan. Krishna is telling Arjuna that Arjuna, you know, come above all the three modes of material nature. Don't be there, you know, in these three modes of material nature. There is no point. Come out of it by taking what? That we'll discuss in the next shloka. Let me elaborate on this shloka first. So we will see. Now, many times people have this argument that, you know, this Purana is saying something, that Purana is saying something, this person is saying something, that person is saying something. How to understand and what to follow? This is the question. Now, since we have discussed three modes of material nature, you can understand it now. So we have mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. There are 18 Puranas which are written by Vyasadev. So there are 6 Puranas which are called as Tamasic Purana, mode of ignorance Puranas. There are 6 Puranas which are in mode of passion, passionate Puranas. And there are 6 other who are Satviki Puranas. They are Satvik Puranas, mode of goodness. So you will find that in all the three Puranas, all the different categories of Puranas, different things will be mentioned. Why? So that a person in mode of ignorance can follow that at his level and then come to the mode of passion. A person in mode of passion will be able to follow those things which are mentioned, which he'll be able to resonate. And then he'll come to mode of goodness. And mode of goodness person, whatever Puranas are there in that, that will help that person to come and go above the three modes of material nature, break the cycle of birth and death. So when there is contradiction between different Puranas, you will see that in some Purana, some personality is called Supreme Personality. In other Purana, some other personality is called Supreme Personality. So it becomes difficult and crazy, you know, for Hindus to understand, which Devta is Supreme Personality? So you have to understand that different categories of Puranas will have a preceding deity. A preceding personality will be called a Supreme in that particular mode. And just by worshipping that personality, what will happen? The person will shift to the next mode and the next. And finally, the person will come to the worship of Lord Shri Krishna, who is the person who can give Mukti. So he's called as Mukunda. Who can pull the people out of three modes of material nature. He's called as Mukunda. And you know, when we talk about loving God, not everyone can understand. Mode of ignorance person, how he can understand loving God? Correct? So that is the reason. Loving God will not be mentioned in ignorance Puranas or passionate Puranas. It will talk about fear in ignorance and passionate Puranas. But loving God and serving God as duty is talked about in mode of goodness. And exclusively about loving God is talked about in the mode of pure goodness. That is about the three modes of material nature. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they belong to pure goodness, above the three modes of material nature. So what we are learning, the scripture that we're learning, is beyond the three modes. It is not in any of the category. It is beyond the three modes. It talks about how can we love God? How can we realize that I am the part and parcel of Krishna? How can I connect back to Him? How can I go back to Him? This is the talk that we have. Mode of passion, mode of ignorance, it will talk about how can I earn more money or which puja should I do. That's the reason in morning, early morning times, you'll see the astrological programs. They'll say that worship this devata, you're in this particular graha is afflicting you. Worship this devata, do this particular charity, etc., etc. But for us, as Gita students, we don't need all that. Because what we are learning and what we are interested in is how can I connect with Krishna? How can I love Krishna? How can I break the cycle of birth and death? So all these things which are mentioned, those are not very much for all of us. Worship this devta, that devta, give this charity, put oil here, put oil there, not needed. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Every bead that we move, that is what is our sacrifice, that is what is our charity, that is what is our puja. If we can do that, yes, we can cross the three modes of material nature very, very easily. That's what is the point that Krishna is saying, that come above the three modes of material nature. So, we have to be very careful when we're dealing with the sadhus around. They might be, preaching, or they might be talking about some lower modes. They might be talking about ignorance or passion, and they might be encouraging people to be in that particular mode. We have to be careful. We are not supposed to get or become victim of such bogus people around. We are interested to break the cycle of birth and death, not settle in this world. Now, we are not very much keen in, I want more promotion and I want this, I want that. Everything will come depending on the karma. So let's not hanker for that. Hanker for perfection of human form. Only an intelligent person will do this. That is the reason we discuss this three modes so elaborately. Now the question is, how can I cross the three modes of material nature? Last few slides for today, now before we end. And this is a takeaway. Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam evaye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. And the next sloka. Mam chayobe vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So these two shlokas are basically saying that just by surrendering to Krishna, just by doing bhakti of Lord Sri Krishna, what will happen? We will come above the three modes of material nature. We will not be affected by the three modes of material nature. That is the reason a sadhu, a personality who is practicing bhakti, practicing spirituality, will remain stable in all situations. It hardly matters. The change of situation, it hardly matters for him. Why? Because he's above three modes of material nature. Krishna says, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya. He's saying that these three modes of material nature, this prakriti is my shakti. And Krishna is like, you surrender on to me. Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam evaye prapadyante. You surrender on to me, I will take care of you, I will deliver you. This is what Krishna is saying. This is the promise that he gives. Multiple places is saying this. Yadgatvana nivartante taddhama paramam mama. Once you come back to me, you will never get into this modes of material nature again, in this world, this dukkhalayam again. Then he says, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Surrender on to me. Aham tan sarva papebhyo. I'll take care of all the other aspects of your life. Don't worry. I will pull you out of the three modes of material nature. Very simple analogy I'll give you. Suppose you're going to some of your friend's house. And he has got a big dog. Very big dog. And you go there and you just enter the gate, and the dog comes barking at you. And is about to pounce on you. And at that time, your friend, he says, Tommy, come back. And as soon as he says that, the big dog becomes a small dog. And he, with the tail down, it goes behind the master and stands. What happened here? The dog was about to catch you and devour you. And just the instruction, by the instruction of your friend, who was the master of the dog, he pulled the dog behind. Same thing happens. When we surrender to Krishna, Krishna says, oh, Maya Shakti, Prakriti, chalo, come behind, he's my devotee. No, come back. And Maya Shakti has no option. Prakriti, three modes of material nature, she has no option. Like, okay, she comes back. And the devotee is freed from three modes of material nature. Look at the wonderful aspect of devotional service. And what is bhakti? Bhakti is offering whatever we have to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. We have to use it in His service. Yes? Whatever we have. And we have to use it in an innovative way. Offer it to Krishna and accept the prasad that comes. Right? So this is called as dovetailing everything in service of Krishna. We have to be innovative to analyze, how can I use this particular thing in service of Krishna? So this is a way to get out of three modes of material nature by surrendering to Krishna, by practicing devotional service, by practicing bhakti. And the topmost aspect of bhakti in the age of Kali Yuga is chanting of the holy names. Kritaya Dhyayato Vishnu. In Treta Yuga, it was meditation. That was surrender in Treta Yuga, in Satya Yuga. Then Tretayam Ijato Makhai. In Treta Yuga, it was Yajna. That was the mode of surrender. That was the mode of surrender. And in Dwapar Yuga, Dwapare Paricharyayam, worship of the deities in the temple was the prime aspect to surrender to Krishna. And in the age of Kali Yuga, Kalautad Dhari Kirtanat. That is chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the way. This is the way to surrender to Krishna. No need to do anything else. With this, we move on to the most important slide for today, the practical tip, how to deal with people around us. And these are the points. If you want, please note it down. I'll try to explain each one of it. And this will be the last explanation for the day. And after this, we'll chant for some time, for a few minutes. And then we'll have Damodar Ashtakam singing. And you all can offer the ghee lamp to Damodar, so you can keep the ghee lamp ready. How to get along with people? This is the question. First point, which I've mentioned here. Modes will work for sure, but the effect can be minimized. See, we cannot say that, oh, I'll come out of the mode of ignorance or I'll always remain in mode of goodness. No, it will not happen like that. Now, when we're hearing the class, we might be in mode of transcendental goodness, above the three modes. So like we have mode of ignorance, passion, goodness. This is of this material world. When we cross the three modes, we come to something called as mode of pure goodness. Shuddha Sattva, it is called as. That is transcendental. That is beyond the three modes. So now currently we might be feeling a lot of bliss and a lot of transcendental experience. But as soon as the class ends, as soon as our chanting is over, it might be possible that again we are back to three modes. So we will be there in either of it. But then we can minimize the effect of the three modes, especially mode of passion and ignorance, by practicing, having a good practice, good sadhana every single day. We have to be very, very careful in our day-to-day life, what activities we are doing. First one. Second, hate the sin and not the sinner. Today, this statement will be clear to all of you all. Hate the sin and not the sinner means what? Hate the sin. Now, the activity that he is doing is abominable. Why is he doing that abominable activity? Because he's helplessly driven by mode of ignorance. It's not that he wants to do it, but he's helplessly driven by that. So don't hate the sinner. No, he's helplessly driven by the three modes of material nature. Hate the sin. This is what the statement means, right? So basically, don't judge the person immediately. I've stressed a lot about this and I've elaborated on this point. Forming perception of people is destructive. Never form permanent perception about people. Never, ever. Don't do this mistake. Because people change. People keep changing. And when you get affected by someone, don't ponder it too much. Theek hai. A person was in mode of ignorance. He spoke something to you. He did something to you. Theek hai, it's okay. Theek hai. No, we have to have a broad heart to forgive the person. Thinking and understanding the aspects of Bhagavad Gita. Theek hai, he's in mode of ignorance. Soon he'll come to mode of goodness. He'll come and ask forgiveness. Or let me be a broad-minded person and let me ask forgiveness, by which I will help the person to come out of the mode of ignorance. When you go and beg forgiveness, the person will go crazy. Are, Baba, I did the mistake. Why is he asking forgiveness? And because of us, that person will be out of mode of goodness. So it is said, doesn't matter whose mistake it is. Jaake bol do. Kya bolna hai? What are you supposed to say? I am sorry. Please forgive me. If that person has done the mistake, it will be a tight slap on his face if we tell sorry from our side. Yes. So it is said that don't think too much about all these things, about which are happening around. Our life is small. Life is short. Life is so short and we have got a higher goal in life. When we don't have a higher goal in life, we will get caught up in small things of this world. Oh, this person said this, that person said this. Arre, go hell with all that. We want to attain Krishna. We want to break the cycle of birth and death. High goal it is. People who don't have this goal, they will get stuck in this world. How can she speak about me like this? Oh, I went to their house and they didn't even greet me once. Oh, I went to that marriage ceremony and that person, he was such a nice friend of mine. He didn't look at me. Come on. Oh, this is all nonsense. Let's not be so sensitive about people around. Our people are driven helplessly by three modes of material nature. Let's focus on the goal. Let's not ponder too much about what people are doing around. Let's not do that. Let's allow, let the people do whatever they want. They're helplessly driven. If we really want to do something to people around, help them to come out of three modes of material nature. That's what is our contribution in another's life. Apart from this, we shouldn't worry about what the other people are doing. We should understand that they all have got some different nature. Combination of Bhutagana, Rakshasagana, Devagana, and Manushagana. Combination of three modes of material nature. Why should I really bother about all this? When someone speaks something, it's okay. I hear from one ear, leave it from the other. Problem comes when we hear and it goes to our heart and it gets stuck here. This is the problem. And Bhagavad Gita says, no need to do that. Go above the three modes of material nature. Why you get affected by all this? You have to hear about Krishna and this space which is there, no? This space which is called as heart, this should be given only for Krishna, not for any people in this world. Because no person, please write this down if you are writing notes, no person in this world deserves our serious attention. It's only Krishna who is the most qualified person who deserves our serious attention. No one in this world, including our near and dear and loved ones, deserve our serious attention. Yeah, we have to do our duty. That's okay. But taking someone very, very seriously, their talks very seriously, their actions very seriously is a very, very immature behavior. This is what is said. So when we have a higher goal, everything else in our life will be chutku, chutku, chutku. Small, small, small. We will not get swayed by all these things in life. So with this, I would like to pause today's discussion.